Sin, like fatty tissues in our arteries, clog the flow of grace.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about God's prescription for better spiritual circulation.
The blood of Jesus Christ works to deal with sin when you're walking in the light so you don't lose fellowship.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Dr. Evans has been talking recently about things that contribute to our spiritual growth. Today, he talks about the biggest issue that stands in its way, the problem of sin. Let's join him.
A dwarf is someone who has stunted growth. The reason why dwarfism exists is because something blocks HGH. HGH is the human growth hormone. Because this hormone is either missing or unusually restricted, intended growth, desired growth, does not occur. In order for you to grow spiritually, there must be the unrestricted flow of SGH, spiritual growth hormone. We have been learning throughout this series that the hormone that God uses to grow us is a hormone called grace. Grace is the goodness of God flowing through the life of the believer, where God is free to express himself in and through them. However, there is a grace hormone blocker leading to a generation of spiritual dwarfs. People who do not grow to their fully desired, redeemed potential. And that block that hinders the free flow of grace, which produces maximum spiritual development and maturity, is called sin. I am not talking about the issue of our legal relationship with God. On the cross, Jesus Christ paid for our sins. When a sinner comes to Jesus Christ for forgiveness, God makes a legal decision. And that legal decision is to not credit that person's sin to their account. 2 Corinthians 5:21 puts it this way. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. If you are here today and you have not yet come to Christ, you are legally guilty. In the courtroom of God, you are guilty as charged. And the guilt of sin that all men are born with cannot be fixed by you. No amount of goodness, no amount of church attendance, no amount of doing the best you can, no amount of community service, while that may be good for the neighborhood you live in, it is unacceptable in the court of heaven. But when a man comes to Jesus Christ and looks to the cross for payment for their sins, when they look to Christ alone for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life, they are forgiven, born again, saved, justified, propitiated, redeemed, and a whole host of other words that in different ways express the concept they are saved. In that transition, as we have learned through our series, God imparts to the believing sinner a new nature, a whole new disposition, that at the core of their being, they receive a brand new identity. And just as a physical life begins in seed form and must grow in order to fully express the DNA of the life it has received, so must the spiritual seed in a person grow in order for them to fully experience and express the the life that they have received. The blood flow of the new life is God's grace. As grace flows through the life of the new nature expands and begins to dominate. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9 makes a very interesting statement about this new nature. 1 John 3, 9 says, "No one who is born of God practices sin, but his seed, the new life, abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God." Now, I know that might throw you a little bit, because you say, "Wait a minute, I know I got some sins on me." But when I read chapter 3, verse 9 of 1 John, it says that the seed cannot sin. Sin is an impossibility. But how can sin be an impossibility when I know I sin in thought, in word, and in deed regularly? So how can it be that I cannot sin? No, don't misread it. It says your seed cannot sin. The seed is the new nature. And the reason why the seed cannot sin is that the seed is God. And he has no defects in his DNA. So when the new nature, your new identity in Christ was given to you at the point of your salvation, here it is, your new nature is perfect in every detail and without flaw. So your new nature cannot sin. Your new nature is totally perfect. Then why do we still struggle with sin if the new person in me can't sin because it's a perfect nature? Because the new nature is living in the old house. That's why it's so important to bring kids to Christ early. Because the earlier they come to Christ, the less time the house has been allowed to accumulate all these termites. Those of us who've come to Christ later on have got termites running through this flesh that have set up shop there. And even though you've got a new nature, it's in seed form, which is why spiritual growth is so important, because the more you grow spiritually, the more the spirit dominates the flesh rather than the flesh dominating the spirit. So we still struggle with sin, but the struggle with sin is not in the new nature. It's in the flesh. The problem is, however, sin, like fatty tissues in our arteries, clog the flow of grace so that it hinders the growth. So that if you don't want hindered growth, if you don't want to be a spiritual dwarf, but you want to grow to be a spiritual giant, the issue of sin must be addressed. And we must all address it because we all face it. And we all fight with it. 1 John 1 helps us to know how to address this hindrance, this blockage of sin that we still face, not because of the new nature, but because of the flesh. He begins in verse 5. "This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all." God is light, and light by nature is absolutely pure. So any darkness showing up short circuits fellowship with God. If fellowship with God is short-circuited, then growth from God is short-circuited, because it's the grace of God that produces growth. Grow in grace. So that means the seed of the new life does not get to develop properly because of the presence of sin, and God won't adjust. He goes on. "If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, Now follow the logic. God is in perfect light all the time, because in him is no darkness ever at all. If we say me and God are tight, close, in fellowship with one another, but we are walking in darkness, that is a contradiction. He says you cannot be walking in darkness where God does not hang out and claim to be in fellowship with a God who doesn't hang out there. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have you ever gotten up in the middle of the night, maybe to use the restroom, and failed to turn on your lights and miscalculated where the edge of the bed was with your baby pinky toe? Or maybe it wasn't a bed, maybe it was something left in the middle of the floor that you forgot about. But because you were walking in darkness, you didn't see and woke the whole neighborhood up. Now, you could have avoided that crisis by turning on the light, because turning on the light would let you see where the problem was. Light has a way of letting you see stains on your clothes. Turn the light off and you look pretty because you can't see. But turn the light on and the wrinkles show up and the stains show up and you become aware of the stains. You see, here it is. Walking in fellowship with God means you see things as they really are. And if you walk in his presence, because he is light, you will see. The really spiritual person who is growing is constantly increasing their awareness of how unlike God they are.
But Dr. Evans says some of us are playing a children's game with God, and it's a game we're bound to lose. He'll tell us more when he continues our message in just a moment. What you're hearing today is part of Dr. Evans' 2-volume, 16-message series, The Essentials of Spiritual Growth. It covers every aspect of what it takes to become a mature, fully devoted follower of Christ. In addition to prayer, you'll learn about the roles that grace, faith, and Scripture can play. You'll see a model of what maturity really looks like. You'll also learn how to survive trials, resist temptation, and overcome sinful habits that are so hard to break. Right now, we're making this giant collection available on CD as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount toward Tony's ministry. Just log on to TonyEvans.org, make whatever donation God leads you to make, and request your copy of The Essentials of Spiritual Growth. This special offer runs out soon, so be sure to drop by TonyEvans.org today or call us at 1-800-800-3222. Our resource center is open 24/7 for your convenience. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. We'll get back to today's message right after this.
Coming to theaters April 29th and 30th.
American men have become sissified. They have been lied to.
Dr. Tony Evans squares off against today's mangled view of manhood in a powerful new film, Kingdom Men Rising.
Biblical manhood is a male who has submitted himself to divine authority. This is not just going to church. This is a way of operating.
Discover a kind of strength superheroes can't even understand, empowering men to be the loving leaders their wife and family will want to follow.
We have got to get some men with guts who have got the ability to stand up and take the leadership back. That's what we need.
Kingdom Men Rising, April 29th and 30th, from Dr. Tony Evans, along with Tony Dungy, Troy Vincent, John Kitna, Tim Brown, Tony's father, Arthur Evans, and more. Visit TonyEvans.org for theaters and showtimes.
We've all played this growing up, hide and seek. The goal of hide and seek was to stay in the darkness so you would not be found. The goal of hide and seek is to cover up and to get by yourself so that somebody in the light can't find you. God says, if you play hide and seek with me, walk in darkness, and I live in the light. Don't worry. We ain't gonna run into each other. Because in me, there is no darkness at all. I don't hang out in darkness. I don't hang out. But if you will walk in the light, that is, live in the light of my presence, the blood of Jesus Christ will keep on cleansing you from your sin. Now, this is a magnificent statement. The blood of Jesus Christ judicially, legally forgave you when you accepted him as Savior, and your heavenly destiny is secured forever. But your earthly intimacy can be interrupted, and therefore your spiritual growth can be interrupted by sin. But here is something about the blood of Christ. It's not only good for heaven, it works on earth. He says the blood that gives you judicial forgiveness in heaven gives you sanctifying forgiveness on earth. And the blood of Jesus Christ, watch this now, keeps on cleansing you from your sin. The blood of Jesus Christ works to deal with sin when you're walking in the light so you don't lose fellowship. I hate to admit this. Whenever I go to the dentist, I do overtime brushing. Anybody ever do that? You go to the dentist, you brush overtime. Triple floss and stuff. You want to impress him. Then he comes and x-rays your teeth. That's an embarrassing thing. Especially if they got them microscopes where they go under your gum, take a little sample, put it on a microscope. You see bugs and spirochetes and whatever they are, spirochetes. And you see all kind of animals walking around up in your mouth. And you did all this brushing thinking because the enamel out front was okay, you were okay. But once he puts it under the light of the microscope, you've discovered you got colonies in your mouth. You know, whole tribes, nations have grown up there of bacteria and viruses because the dentist goes deeper. See, a lot of us think we're okay because the enamel, the part everybody sees, looks okay. God's going deeper than that. He's interested in the x-ray because he wants to reveal the spirochetes. But he's bringing up bad stuff for a good reason. Because then the blood of Jesus Christ has something to work on because you're walking in the light. He now exposes it to you. You now see it. And he's free to address it. If we confess our sins. The word confess means to say the same thing. If we will but agree with God that the stain he showed is the stain I see. If when he shows the stain, we don't go heading for the darkness. We stand right there in the light and say, yeah, it's there. It's there. If we will confess our sins, acknowledging it, not ignoring it. He says, when I confess, he is faithful. That means you can bank on it. He is righteous. He won't compromise his integrity. To forgive us our sins. What sins? The sins you just confessed. Forgiveness. Forgiveness simply means to no longer credit to your account. Judicially, that happened on the cross. The reason you're going to go to heaven is because Christ's righteousness was credited to your account. You're not going to heaven because you yourself are righteous. You're going to heaven because the credit was made where the righteousness of Christ was placed in your spiritual account judicially. God now says he will do that also relationally to keep the closeness in order to allow the growth. He will forgive your sin. If you really want to know forgiveness, pull out a calculator sometime and intentionally sin with your calculator. In other words, try to get the calculator to be unrighteous. Now, that's going to be hard to do. But one way you can sin against your calculator is knowingly put in the wrong numbers. In other words, you punch the wrong buttons. You didn't mean to put 5 plus 4. You meant to put 5 plus 5, but you hit the wrong button. You sinned with regard to the numbers because you punched the wrong thing. Now, you can't unravel that because the calculator is built to take in what you put in. So if you put in 5 plus 4, but you meant to put in 5 plus 5, you don't then get a screwdriver and unravel that because it's too complex. But now there is something you can do. There's that zero button. Punch that. And the calculator unravels it for you because it starts you all over again. The calculator says, you messed up, didn't you? You didn't mean to put in 5 plus 4. Let's start this all over again. Some of this stuff in you, you can't unravel. And you walk in fellowship, not because you are not sinful, but because he cleanses them based on confession.
Dr. Evans will come back with a final story to share with us, so don't go away. But first, today's lesson was titled Prayer, the Access of Spiritual Growth. Full-length copies are available. Just contact us for the details. But as I mentioned earlier, this message is also part of Tony's 2-volume series, The Essentials of Spiritual Growth. And remember, you can get this entire 16-lesson collection on CD as our thank you gift for a contribution of any amount, as long as you make your request before time runs out. So don't put it off. Visit us today at TonyEvans.org to make the arrangements. Or call our 24-hour resource request line at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our staff members help you. 1-800-800-3222. Society's view of success usually boils down to a list of things we ought to have. But tomorrow, Dr. Evans will tell us why spiritual success is about what we ought to be and what we can do after that growth takes place. Right now, though, he's back with a final thought to wrap up today's message.
When we had our babies, they would regularly sin against us. One of the babies would mess up their diaper and they would break fellowship with me. I'm sorry, fellowship was over. I'd be holding one of the babies up and all of a sudden I'm smelling, oh no. So I got to call somebody because I don't have fellowship. That's not my gift. So the normal process was that their mother would come and cleanse them. The baby, after a while, would acknowledge its sin. No. It would cry out because it had become uncomfortable. They broke fellowship with me. But they would cry out because their own stench affected them. They realized they were in dirt. Mother would come and clean up their dirt, bringing them back in fellowship with me. I'm going somewhere. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. He can't fellowship with the stench of sin. But when we cry out, there is another person. Jesus Christ, his son, with the handy wipes of his blood, comes and cleanses us from all sin so that the Father can reestablish and maintain fellowship with his children. And when fellowship is maintained, growth is continued. So don't let the spiritual growth hormone of grace get blocked by the unconfession of sin.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.